There's no point in trying to conceal my bias. I think child beauty pageants are creepy and gross. I don't like the idea of forcing children to compete against one another for really no reason. They'll have enough competition in their futures. However, I don't blame the children. I blame the judges who are willing to rank children on an arbitrary scale, and I blame the parents who want to slap 10 pounds of makeup on their child to make them look 16, and, finally, I blame the industry that perpetuates this activity, including the trainers who teach the children how to win over judges, the makeup industry that caters to these parents, and the institution itself. That being said, this month the BSC gets into a fight over a child beauty pageant, so it's going to be one of those blog entries. This is Rereading My Childhood, The Babysitter's Club, number 15, Little Miss Stony Brook, and Dawn. Like most BSC books, it starts with a BSC meeting. Dawn is announced as the new treasurer, and she thinks to herself, I like Stony Brook, but I'm a California girl at heart. I like hot weather, not cold, and health food, not junk. The flex is that stark, and it is in the part of the book where each member is given a page-long paragraph detailing everything we need to know about each member. I'm starting to skip these, and as for the remarks about California, the hot weather is on point except for Northern California, Tahoe, Squaw Valley, Mammoth, and every other ski resort. We can say that Dawn is a Southern California girl, and have you seen the junk food at Disneyland? Clearly Californians love their Mickey-shaped donuts. I've said it before and I'll say it again, I don't think Anna and Martin had been to California before writing these books. Anyway, Mallory and Jesse are sworn in as members, and the BSC oath, as introduced in this book, goes like this. I promise to be a good, reliable, and safe sitter, and to be true to the Babysitter's Club forevermore. Sounds like a good oath. Marianne cries. Claudia and Dawn roll their eyes, which I think is a little rude. She's just happy for them. And while I may be an emotionless gargoyle, I think it's wonderful that Marianne still feels things. Back at home, Jeff is having some problems adjusting to the house. Jeff's teacher calls and tells Dawn and her mother that he got into a fight. Jeff wants to move back to California, and their mother reluctantly agrees to work out a deal with their father and their lawyers, which, frankly, is probably the best solution for everyone. Unfortunately, Dawn does not agree. You little twerp, I said to him hotly. You are rotten, spoiled baby. Dawn, cried my mother. I ignored her. Can't you see what you're doing? I yelled at Jeff. You're breaking up what's left of our family. No, I'm not, Jeff replied quietly. I'm giving Dad some of his family back. It's time we even things up. Besides, I have to try this, or I might end up in jail. Mom and Jeff and I all began to laugh. This is the 10th time reading this, and I still don't quite get it. I guess Jeff going to jail is hilarious, probably because he's a white boy, and if certain rapist swimmers won't go to jail for being rapist swimmers, then this kid in Connecticut isn't going to jail for fighting. Hell, white men don't go into jail for stealing billions of dollars from the American people. This kid isn't going to jail. At Claudia's house, Dawn and the young Miss Kishi see the advertisement for the pageant. The girls will be judged on, quote, poise, talent, and looks. Looks? Looks? They're 8. Don't be gross. There is a short discussion on how sexist it is. Surprisingly, not from our favorite health food vegan California girl, but from Claudia. In fact, Dawn says she did child beauty pageants, and one when she was a kid. The rest of the BSC shows up, and there's a quick conversation about how sexist pageants are, which I guess is progressive for when this book was written. Christy says, I guess a pageant could be sexist, but fun. Well, Christy, if it's fun, then we should keep doing it. Men have a lot of fun slapping flight attendants' asses. We should just keep doing it. You're disappointing me, Christy, but I guess we have to have a central conflict in the book, and it can't be Jeff and Dawn. It has to be the BSC fighting over their separate pageant contestants. Luckily, Jesse and Mallory refuse to participate on the basis that it's sexist. You stick to your convictions, girls. Thank God you're here. However, Mallory's sisters Claire and Margot hear about the pageant. Mallory sticks to her beliefs and refuses to coach the girls. So Mrs. Pike asked Dawn for help, to which Dawn enthusiastically agrees. The first handwriting chapter we have is for Christy watching over Karen, Andrew, and David Michael. Karen hears about the pageant from Christy and wants to enter. Her talent will be singing and tap dancing, although she has had no training. Then Watson and Christy's mother return from their bird bath auction. Jeff is confirmed to be moving back to California after an effusive week for the kid. They argue again, even though they were laughing just a few days before. This really doesn't have anything to do with the pageant, although Dawn is using the pageant to distract herself from Jeff. It doesn't matter, as it's a B storyline. We have an A storyline! Dawn is at the Pike's house, coaching Margot and Claire. Claire and Margot raced into the bedroom they share. Before I could say a word, they opened their closet and began peeling their clothes off. Margot reached for her bathing suit. On the front was a gigantic alligator, its mouth open in a grin full of big triangular felt teeth. "This is what I'm wearing," she announced. "For what?" I asked. "The pageant," Margot replied impatiently. "Fuck yeah, she should wear whatever the fuck she wants." But Dawn is playing this ridiculous thing straight and asks that they don't think about outfits at the moment. They switch to their talents. They don't play instruments, they can't dance, and they can't sing. Margot chooses to recite a poem from memory, but she doesn't think it's enough. She wants to recite the poem while peeling a banana with her feet, which grossed me out. Then she took a bite from it while reciting the poem, and I retched a little. Ugh. Marianne babysits for the Perkins, and of course the girls hear about the pageant. It turns out that Mariah can both dance and tap. Mariah has also taken gymnastics and theater. When their mother comes home, the girls ask her if they could participate in the pageant, to which she says, "In any pageant, or in any game or contest, there are winners and there are losers. You might be a winner, Mariah, and that would be wonderful. Daddy and Gabby and I, and even Laura, would be very proud of you. But you might be a loser, too. There's going to be lots more losers than winners, and I want you to know that we'll be proud of you if you lose. We'll be proud of you for having the courage to be in the pageant, and for the work and rehearsing you'll do." That's a very good way of putting it, no sarcasm here. It's the best lesson in the book, besides the final lesson, but we'll get to that soon. When Claudia sits for Charlotte, they decide to give Stacy a call. These were the days when you had to have a calling card and it cost like $50 a minute or something, so this is a big deal. After the call, to distract from the separation of their best friends, Claudia somehow convinces Charlotte to join the pageant as well, even though Charlotte, quote, "would rather read, a girl after my own heart." Mallory and Jesse sit for the Pike Kids, and Margot is still rehearsing the house that Jack built, complete with banana. "I'm disgusted just by thinking about it. Tarantino, I am not." All the children start to argue as Adam tries to screw up Margot, and Claire tries to sing louder to cover up the fighting. Mallory attempts to quiet them down, but it doesn't work, and the chapter ends with headaches. At the next BSC meeting, there's a bunch of pageant talk, especially about the last question. You know, the one where the contestants either shine with their brilliance or become an internet meme. It's obvious that Charlotte really doesn't want to do it. Margot and Claire are the only interesting girls entering because they're so wacky, and Mariah is the only one who has the stage presence and talent to win. Claire would make any pageant awesome, and I have the receipts. "Margot," I said, "what is your greatest wish?" "Global peace," she replied immediately. "Yes, but say it in a nice sentence." "My greatest wish," Margot said, looking rapturous and angelic, "is for global peace. That would be very nice." I only hoped the judge wouldn't ask her to explain what she meant. Margot wouldn't have the vaguest idea what global peace was. "Great," I told her. "Now, Claire, if the house were on fire and you had time to rescue three things, what would they be?" "I would rescue," Claire began sweetly, "my family members, global peace, and the fire extinguisher." If I were the judges, I say she wins. Jeff leaves for California. Remember when you could just walk all the way to the gate before you had to say goodbye? It's weird to see on television shows, and it's weird to read in books. It's certainly more dramatic to say goodbye at the gate, your loved one looking back wistfully over their shoulder as they wave and pass into a long hallway away from you. It's not the same if you drop them off outside as they fumble with their luggage, all while an attendant is yelling at someone, "Hey, this is a drop-off! You can't wait here! Get to the cell phone lot!" Finally, the big pageant day arrives. The girls line up, including a girl named Sabrina Bouvier, who, besides being a distant relative of Marge Simpson, does the pageant thing all the time. It starts with the introductions, and Claire immediately starts saying hi to everyone she knows in the audience and is promptly cut off, to which I say, "Let her speak!" And then I would be promptly cut off and kicked out of the pageant. During the talent portion, Karen sings, that Sabrina girl sings Moon River and is bad, Margot does her banana poem, and Charlotte runs off the stage in tears. "I blame you, Claudia." Mariah gives a good answer to the interview portion. Quote, "I would say to the people who are making the wars, now you stop that. You settle this problem yourselves like grown-ups. Our children want peace." And Claire says that her greatest hope is that Santa Claus is real. Karen says that if her house were on fire, she would save her stuffed cat, her blanket, as many toys as she could carry, and finally her brother Andrew, or her pen that writes in three colors. Sabrina does the global peace answer, and Margot freezes up since Sabrina stole her stock answer. Mariah ends up coming in second, with Sabrina first. Just like when Lisa Simpson enters the Little Miss Springfield contest. Of course, Sabrina isn't struck by lightning, causing Mariah to take up her duties. The girls learn that while Mariah should have won, Sabrina had the look that the judges like and the makeup of a 25-year-old. Claudia realizes that she forced Charlotte to participate. Jeff calls and seems to be in a better place after moving. I didn't hate this one as much as I thought I would. Some of the reasoning for the BSE to participate in the pageant is flimsy, but Mallory and Jesse were there to point out the stupidity and sexism of the whole endeavor. Beauty pageants are a common storyline in many episodic shows and book series, from Parks and Recreation to the aforementioned The Simpsons. Just like those properties, the beauty pageant participant usually learns that it's not about the one with the most talent, but the prettiest. That being said, I would like to leave you with this piece of advice. Watch the Last Week Tonight with John Oliver segment about the Miss America pageant. Thank you. And I wish for global peace.